This is Oklahoma Perspective. Epic Charter Schools is a free online public school offering education from grades pre-K through 12. Recently, the OSBI began to investigate Epic Charter Schools for embezzlement and for inflating their enrollment numbers. KRMG's Russell Mills talked to State School Superintendent Joy Hoffmeister about the allegations against Epic Charter Schools.
Quite a ballyhoo going on about this. Can you kind of explain, first of all, to folks, what is Epic? Is it part of the state educational system? Is it a private entity? Is it some sort of combination? What is it?
Well, Epic is a virtual school that delivers both blended model of online education and actually blended with meeting with a teacher as directed by the student and what seems appropriate. But they are also an entity that has exclusively virtual model of delivering education as well. That part of it is overseen and part of the state virtual charter school board. So there's kind of some overlap in, we have a school accountability system. Anyone providing public education in Oklahoma then is subject to the same regulations federally and in the state. But in the state, there are some exceptions where there are different set of rules, if you will, for either charter or virtual charter schools.
Okay, so by virtual, and I'll just explain this for folks who may be a little confused, virtual means the kids take their classes online.
That's right. Yes. So it is a innovative approach to having instruction, and it can be done online. We know a lot of our universities are doing this, and our traditional schools that people think of as brick and mortar schools, your Tulsa Public or Broken Arrow or Jinx, Bixby, they have their virtual academies as well. So this is something that is a part of many of our school districts, but the virtual school is known for being very exclusive in not having a classroom setting like we would think of as a traditional public school.
Which, let's be fair, that probably works better for some kids and some families.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's a great acknowledgement of that we have to keep up with the needs of our kids. And many of them will work best in a setting like virtual, or for some of them, they need a different approach, a classroom approach or a blended approach or the traditional approach. But we're seeing many of our schools being more innovative with technology, the virtual charter school board oversees our virtual schools that are sponsored through that board and that are part of that system. I think there are about 4 or 5 of those in the state. And Epic has one of the largest number of students enrolled across the state.
And they do have to stay in line with educational standards as set by the federal and state governments, correct?
Certainly, yes. So, for instance, special education students would still have an individual education plan, and those services would need to be provided to that student in compliance with federal law and, of course, state law.
All right. So again, we can't really get into any specifics, but today Governor Kevin Stitt issued a letter requesting that State Auditor Inspector Cindy Byrd perform an audit of this school, of Epic Charter Schools, or Epic. Is that the right name? Epic Charter Schools?
Yes, this would be, yes, an investigative audit over the past 3 years. And this is something, of course, we support, and we are, eager to see that work and let those professionals that are charged with these kinds of audits in, and that is through our state auditor and inspector general, Cindy Byrd.
And
we want that, it needs to play out, and she will do her work.
And what grades does Epic serve? Is it K through 12? Or my understanding is it's more like it's the younger kids. Is that correct?
It would be all the grade bands, all of the grades.
Oh, okay. So they so they have students K through 12.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's correct.
Do we have any idea how many students?
Yes, they are, again, one of the largest districts in the state. Of course, their geographic footprint is the entire state of Oklahoma, and they are then receiving students regardless of where they live in the state of Oklahoma. They can be enrolled in the Epic virtual school.
Now, in the press release or news release, if you prefer, that came out today from the governor's office, you are quoted in there. And kind of explain to me, you know, what your involvement or the involvement of your office is, if any, with this entire affair.
Well, we applaud the governor for what he is requesting, and it is a function that this particular investigative audit is something that the governor alone can ask for, the way he has done this in this situation. And also, as I think it's very well reported in the news, there is also a investigation that is going on now with other investigative entities. And certainly that is something that our office would be a part of, and we are continuing to work and answer or provide any information that we then hold that would be helpful to that investigation.
And it's, according to the governor's office, you also called for an investigative audit. Can you say why?
Well, yes, I think that it is very important to have those with that specialization in investigative auditing to have access to those records and look in a way that they are equipped to review and make findings. This will support the work of the other investigative entities that are reviewing, and it is part of allowing the process to work. I think it's important to mention that this is still an investigation with allegations, and we need to allow that process to work.
Can you tell me, I think one of the reasons that your office is concerned, that the governor's office is concerned, is that there is taxpayer money involved here. Is that correct?
Yes, and these are serious and disturbing allegations. I think it is very important to always have transparency and accountability. Anytime we are really using or entrusted with taxpayer dollars. And this is part of that process in looking to review that and to better understand if something has occurred and then where that, where those findings might be if there are findings of wrongdoing. But this is part of work and I think keeping up with the changes in technology. It is, as you know, always evolving. And the legislature, as well as agencies and the governor's office are all tasked with staying ahead and keeping up with those changes and in ensuring accountability for the taxpayer.
Do you happen to know off the top of your head what kind of, like, how much money are we talking about here? How much money has the state? I don't know what the right word is, paid to or allocated to Epic Charter Schools.
Overall student population and budget, that is all already online and visible to the public. Those dollars then would reflect their students and those, what is called their student membership. And that is a number that is specific to their different sites and locations. But just to give you a ballpark comparison, we're talking about nearly 20,000 students. And you can think about Tulsa Public having maybe 39,000 students in it. So this is a collection of students overall that is over several sites and then totals a larger enrollment than Jinx, perhaps, or Bixby, but is not as large as Tulsa Public Schools.
State School Superintendent Joy Hoffmeister. Governor Kevin Stitt has ordered an audit of Epic Charter Schools. KRMG's Russell Mills talked to Governor Stitt about the allegations.
Today, you sent out a news release and a link to a letter that you had sent to our state auditor inspector, Cindy Bird, requesting an audit of an entity known as Epic Charter Schools. Can you kind of explain how this situation came to your attention and why you are requesting this audit?
Sure. Well, first off, thanks for having me on. It's always good to talk with you. But, you know, first off, as governor, I've got to hold everybody accountable, every state agency, every public school. So it's really no different than any other school that has some allegations of, misappropriating funds or double counting students, because our funding formula, we use public funds based on the number of students that are in attendance. So when we found out the allegations that were being made against one of our public institutions, this happens to be a virtual charter school, I asked for the state auditor to go in and investigate that and actually look at some of the audits that were being done to look at that. And I would do that for any state agency just to make sure that we're holding them all accountable and with the public funds.
So I'm a little fuzzy on exactly what this school district is. Is this a state agency? Is it a public or private entity? Is it sort of a combination of the two?
Yeah, it's a charter school. So a charter school in the state of Oklahoma, they're public schools that are for a specific purpose. So in this case, it's a virtual school. And so a virtual school just uses new technology. It's done online a lot of times. They still meet with teachers. And basically it's designed for, kids that are either being bullied, kids that are athletes that are having to travel a lot or practice for their gymnastics or their sports that keep them away from a traditional school, kids with special needs. So there's a lot of reasons to choose to go to a virtual school versus a traditional school. So it's just another tool in the tool belt that meets the needs for certain demographics or certain things that our students need in our state. So it's really nothing new. Most states have something similar to these virtual schools. So in this particular case, there's multiple virtual schools in our state. We're talking specifically about one called Epic that had these allegations, and so we're going to investigate it, and we're going to get to the bottom of it.
Governor, what do you know about where these allegations come from or who's making these allegations?
You know, as far as I don't know who's making the allegations, there's always a rub between your traditional school districts versus a virtual school. So there's some mistrust there between both sides. I passed some legislation this year to make sure that every school that receives state funds has to live under the same standards, has to use the same reporting metrics. And I just feel it's important that if you're using state dollars that you have to follow all the same rules. So that's also a misnomer that if you're a virtual school, you don't have to follow some of the same reporting. That's been changed. We've all got that aligned the same way. And again, this isn't for everybody, but it certainly meets a need for certain students that have certain disabilities or problems going to a traditional school.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I kind of wish this would have been around when I was a kid. It wasn't, not by a long shot.
Yeah.
But absolutely, it fills an important need for a lot of kids and their families. But as you said, they have to maintain the same kind of educational standards, and they have to maintain the same kind of accountability as any other school in the state. And there are also federal regulations involved here, I would imagine.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So, I certainly think there's a place I think we need to look at technology. We need to look at all the different things. I have six children, and not every one of your kids learns exactly the same way. So I think it's important that we provide opportunity, that we provide all kinds of different learning methods for people. And I've said it a lot of times. It also bothers me. Some of the rural schools don't have access to the same AP classes that a Jinx or a Union or some of our great schools in the Tulsa area have. And so through technology, we can type in the best AP teacher from a certain school district out to rural Oklahoma to give every kid the exact same opportunity. And I know the virtual schools, a lot of times provide that type of opportunity. But it doesn't change the fact that they have to follow the rules. There's obviously a funding formula, and we're going to get to the bottom of it, and we're going to find out if these accusations are true. And if they're true, they'll be punished, and we're going to fix it.
How was this brought to your attention? Who came to, came to the governor's office or called you and said, "Hey, we got a thing here. We need to look into."
You know, we found out about it in the press, and so my press team said, "Hey, governor, this just broke, and we need to get to the bottom of it." And so nobody tipped me off beforehand. That's basically how we found out.
Gotcha. All right. So moving forward, this is an official request by the governor to the state auditor and inspector's office. I would imagine that will put wheels in motion fairly quickly.
Yes, 100%. You know, Cindy Bird, our state auditor, she does a fantastic job. And my office has really started utilizing her. I've asked her to audit the Medicaid rolls. We've put her on several audits that normally these state agencies were outsourcing that. And we gave her a little bit more funding to hire more auditors because I wanted to be able to handle it in-house in every situation that we could. And so her team does a really, really good job for us.
Interesting. And is there a timeline sort of in mind, or is it takes as long as it takes, just get her done, or how did that work?
Yeah, you know, it could take weeks to get it done. I didn't give her a timeline, but I said it's of the utmost importance to really dig in, and we need to verify these allegations.
Expedite. And I mean, we're getting pretty close to the start of the next school year, right? So does that add any sort of emphasis or urgency to the situation?
You know, it does, but basically, the funding formula is kind of a look back, and it's based on kind of an October date. So I'm not really worried about them getting any more funds. We can obviously claw back any funds if we find out there's been problems with the count. But that's one of my initiatives, is to really look at this funding formula, because it's a 3-year look back rolling averages. So districts that are growing, they're not getting the funds that they need with their additional students. So there's some work that we need to look at as the way that we fund our public education, our public school system together. And the other thing I want to remind our callers, I'm so proud of this. As you know, our budget was just tremendously successful this past year, and we got a teacher pay raise for only the second time. It's never happened before, 2 years in a row, given our wonderful school teachers pay raise. So I was really proud that we got that across the finish line, and because, you know, we have to attract, retain, recognize, praise that profession, for those wonderful teachers that are, teaching our young people in the classrooms.
I mean, that the educational system is the foundation of a successful economy. Am I overstating that?
No, absolutely. And that's why it's a huge priority in my administration. Also, not just Common Ed. This morning, I've been in Oklahoma City all day. I met with the president of the University of Oklahoma, the new president, Joe Harris. He's a fantastic individual. We're talking about how we're going to get more research done at the university. And so we're not only talking about public ed, but higher ed, making sure that, we continue to work with industry to train our workforce, because that's so important as well.
Governor Kevin Stitt. Special thanks to KRMG's Russell Mills for the interviews. This is Oklahoma Perspective for Cox Media Group. I'm Bert Williams.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.